One, two, testing, one, two. We're on the second set of questions, part two, with an interview conducted by Delmer Zimmerman with Sam Esslinger in Ashley, North Dakota. And this is May 13th, 1997. This is the second tape. And we were just finished talking about settling disagreements amongst family members, and family, the way the family got along, there weren't too many disagreements, and when there were disagreements, they would discuss them and come up with a solution of some kind. All right, the next question is, were older family members ever consulted about matters such as settling disputes, finances, or farming practices? If there were any differences or between members of the family, or if there were financial problems or anything like that, or farming, how should we farm this land or that land? Were some of the older ones ever consulted?
I don't think we ever got into something like that. It just went smooth all the way.
Yeah, he more or less
everybody was
managed everything, and he had everything set up.
Everybody was on their way, the way they wanted it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you young men and women, you got a little older, and you started dating girls, or the girls dated boys, how were you treated when you or your sisters dated somebody from with another religion that wasn't your own religion? How were they treated? What did he say about that?
There was no discussion about that religion or anything. It was just pick the one you like, or see the one you like, or who likes you, whatever. That's,
mm-hmm.
It was everybody for.
So if you picked somebody that was a different religion than your own, they didn't say anything.
No, that just.
Suppose he figured the way I brought you up, you should be able to make a wise decision, huh?
We figured our judgment was close enough the way we wanted. We figured it was right,
mm-hmm.
good enough, and there's no argument or discussion about that.
Yeah. So none of the young men or women were ever cut off of the family,
no,
from the rest of the family because
or
of religion.
Religion or so, nobody.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Who cared for family members in their old age when they started getting older? Who took care of the older
all
people?
I remember, the Salzers, my mother's side, their folks, their kids took care of the folks. And the Esslinger side, the Esslinger kids took care of the Esslinger grandparents. Always a family member took in as long as they lived.
Mm-hmm.
There was no rest home or anything those days.
Yeah. So it was the younger, the older children got
that,
involved with that there.
Those not even the older ones, but depended on who had a big enough house, or how they agreed to be, or where they would like to be.
So yeah.
That's the way they work.
Never had any problem that
no
way.
No problem.
Yeah. Did your grandparents or parents have friends outside of the family with whom they shared private thoughts, emotions, or feelings? Did they have friends that they would get together with and visit? And
they were far apart from the first years when we were in here. But then with the neighbors, my parents, they got a neighbor that moved by. You come from Russia too. And so they were together just as close friends. They were visiting each other quite often.
Quite often. They got along real well. And
they were friends till they died.
Yeah.
And they're buried in the same cemetery.
Yeah. Did they ever take you kids along? When they went over to the neighbors, did they take you along?
No, we were some bigger ones. We had to stay home then. We were too many to go along. So.
Yeah.
So.
What did they do then? Just sit and visit, or?
Well, then they had other companies there. Sometimes they sang, and or made an appointment where to go for the next evening or some time visit those.
Would this be any night of the week or mostly on Sunday nights or?
No, during the weekend.
During the week too?
When they were town, they'd done. Yeah. Winter time, they done a lot of that going together. Like going away in the evening. That was more the way to do it or go visiting. Now, nowadays they don't go no more. There's always something this or that when something is celebrated.
How did they usually go, like in the wintertime?
Horses and sleds.
Horses and sleds.
By the time later the cars come, well, and by the time the cars come, I was gone too, almost.
Yeah. No, when the horses and sleds, when they went to the neighbors with the horse and sleds, would they just tie them up outside, or would put them in the barn?
No, they usually went, put them in the horses in the barn, put them, kept them warm, and took the lantern, went out to hitch up again, and loaded the sled and went home again.
Yeah, that took a lot of time and a lot of trouble too at that time.
Well, it took a lot of time away if you don't know how to pass the time. See, that took quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
Hitching up and drive a few miles and go home and unhitch him and take the harness off. So it made the night shorter.
Yeah, that's a lot different. That's a lot different than going out in the car now, starting out and taking off, huh?
Yeah.
Those were the good old days, huh?
It's different now.
Yeah. How did your grandparents or parents view the Freundschaft, the relatives? How did they get along with their Freundschaft? Like, did they have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, there was no problems.
No problem, yeah.
Of course, they didn't live close to us. When my grandparents, they usually was staying with the others, and they were further away. So our parents were never living close to us. So it was a ways off by the others, a few miles away or so.
Now, if they were close and they moved away, did they try and stay in touch with them at all, or did they forgive?
My dad, he wrote a lot of letters when it was far away or too far to go, and they always wrote letters back and forth, and they all sometimes were waiting for a letter because he answered his letter and then he waited for an answer again, and so they always knew when it was about time to receive a letter.
Yeah. Who made the money decisions in your family? Your dad or your mother or both?
There was not much decision to make. There wasn't any. The figures were how it's going to last till the cream can is full or the egg case is filled. Take it to town to buy the groceries. There was no money problem, and it was the biggest problem. It was worked out.
If there was any time when they had a problem, would they go to the bank, or did they borrow it from a relative, or did they never borrowed any as far as you know?
I can't remember how they, I think as long as we grew up at home, the money was always managed from selling the cream. It was a regular deal, so much a week, a can or two, take the cream to town and the eggs and buy your sugar and flour, whatever. That was managed that way with just. And the rest of the stuff, we raised everything. We had meat and butter and milk and the dough they started from scratch and made bread. And
so as far as you know, there weren't any serious financial problems at all.
I can't say that we had problems with.
But you always had enough meat and eggs and stuff.
Always had enough to eat.
Yeah.
And that's what my dad always said. As long as we're warm and got enough to eat, we can be thankful.
That's right.
That's the way it went.
Good philosophy, yeah. Okay, now a few questions about the family and the world. What were the most important religious teachings in your home? As far as religion was concerned, what did your mother and dad teach you?
Our dad learned us to write the German ABC, and then the commandments, and all those most important things. He teaches us that at home. We didn't get anything from school, or Sunday school or anything.
Yeah. Did you find comfort in all this?
Well, we just went along. what it has to be.
Yeah.
No one, anything else.
Were you frightened by what he, by these teachings, or scared?
No.
Yeah,
no.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
Sat around the table. The four of us are the biggest ones, and he teached us and made us write the name and then the letters. If you didn't make them right, you make it this within Machso and Sel Machso. With that SZ, we always had trouble, that SC or TC.
Oh, yeah.
ST, whatever.
And he wanted to make sure you got that right.
That SZ, that meant quite a bit, and it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So religion was a pretty important part in your family's life.
Was strictly with that.
Yeah.
That was first.
Yeah. Now, I'll write this down here. I'll make a note of this and probably ask you about that later on. Now, was there ever anything as far as religion is concerned that you didn't agree with your dad with, or that you didn't like?
No, we didn't get far enough in that.
Yeah. So
by the time they had a church and everything to go the way it should go, why then we were all bigger and on our own mostly, and there was never a problem.
Yeah. So you never questioned?
No.
What?
Just,
yeah.
We just
tried. You obeyed, all right?
Well, that's what we were set up for. We just
right.
Follow him.
Yeah.
And we did this in all ways.
Yeah. How did your family get along with people that weren't German Russians? And we talked about this a little bit, about Jews and Indians, Reich Germans. How did they get along? Like your mother and dad were German Russian. How did they get along with the Jews and?
Well, the Jews could talk a little German, and they got along.
Got along.
The little bit they were together,
yeah.
But.
But because their religion was different, no problem.
I don't even know if they got into that or not.
Yeah.
But with this old Jew with this little dog here.
Yeah.
Him and my dad, they talked a lot about the Bible. This was a Christian Jew.
Yeah.
And whenever they got a little bit of chance, where they were talking about the Bible, they got along very good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you told me about that dog, the story with the dog, but you just soon wouldn't say it here, huh?
No, I don't think so.
I thought it was a pretty good story. There weren't any Indians living around here at
no,
that time, so, yeah.
For this Jew in the store, that was in 1937, I made my first trip to California with the truck. I took furniture out for some of those that left here in the drought years. And he told me, if I got room, I shall buy two cases of oranges for him and bring them back to the store. I got plenty of room, and says he, all right, I will. And you know what happened? 1 week we're out there, the second day, my other guy that was with me he got a call, he says, I called home and two people died in Nashville since we left. And that was, well, I can mention the names
now.
That was Fred Hintz and your storekeeper, Ben Mendelowitz. One that ordered the oranges I shall bring.
What?
So he told me, you better not take those oranges along. So we left him.
So you left him there?
Yeah, we didn't bring him.
What, was he an older man? Or?
He was old enough to retire,
yeah.
He was about to quit any time. But he says, I shall bring those oranges. And I would have brought
them. You would have brought them, yeah.
And as soon as we were out there, well, there was a call that those two people died.
I'll be, yeah. Now, how about your family? Now, you have no problem with Jews or Indians or anything like that either.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. Were you afraid to say that you were German at that time?
No, I was never afraid.
Yeah.
At that time, when I started school, there was mostly Jews and Irish. I told you.
Sam, somebody wants to tell you something.
Yeah. Okay, talking about the speaking German, have you felt comfortable expressing your German-Russian background? Does it bother you to talk about the fact that you're a German?
No, we never stopped for anything. We just kept on talking, and we listened to the little Jews talk Jewish. And I says, when we come home from school, I told my parents one, they laughed at me, and it says, those little Jews, they're so small yet, and they know how to talk Jewish.
Yeah. So you've been proud of your German heritage.
We got along good.
So you're proud of your German Russian heritage. Yeah. So. Yeah. Now, how about World War One or Two? Were you afraid to speak up at that time?
At World War One, I was pretty young yet. There was talk about this and that, but we had no problem.
Mm-hmm. In World War Two either.
And we didn't get around at World War One, but World War Two, we had no problems.
Yeah. Okay. For those, first of all, did speaking German affect your relationship with others in school, or in town, or church?
No. We shouldn't talk German, but we did off and on anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But we slowly started talking English, and we got into it and worked.
Was there anybody in your company that any friends of yours that could only talk English? They couldn't talk German, or was everybody in the same boat?
There was nobody that could talk German. They talked their language. We're all English and Jews.
English and Jews, and the German language at home.
We were the Germans.
Yeah, yeah. So there was never any problem between you kids.
Of course, when we talked us in school, us kids together,
yeah,
and used German words, or the Jewish, well, they stopped us. You got to take the corner.
Is that right?
Yeah. They wanted us to talk English, which was the right way, I think.
Now, did you do the same thing to them? Tell them to talk German or English?
No, I didn't tell nothing, but we listened to the teacher.
Yeah.
But then, when she wasn't around, we used our language anyhow, but it was against the rules. But it didn't make us any trouble, but it was teaching us.
Yeah. How do you feel about a German brogue?
German
brogue. That is quite German. Speaking a German brogue, sounding like it's speaking like a German. Like if you say German, the G kind of sounds like a J, a German.
Oh. Well,
never any problem with that.
We had no problem.
Okay. What do you think about the survival of the German language in our German-Russian community? Now we have a German-Russian community here, and some of them still talk German, some don't. What do you think about that?
Well,
is it a good thing or a bad thing?
If they get along and like it, I think it shouldn't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
If they enjoy it or like it, it's cool. It's their business.
Yeah. I'm sure you feel the same way I do. I'm glad I can talk German.
Yeah. And if I would know another language, and like so many take Spanish now or whatever.
Yeah.
Another language would be worth so much more.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Do your children or your grandchildren speak German?
No. Grandchildren, they're completely English.
Yeah.
But they take lessons down in school, some of them.
They go to school and want to learn it, yeah.
Different language.
Your children both speak German, though. Yeah.
They can speak German.
Did you teach them to speak German, or did they just catch on?
We just kept cut on and talked it.
They learned it from you. Okay, now a few questions on education. And I think we probably talked about that a little bit yesterday, too. How available were your educational opportunities? You said none in your family went to the eighth grade. What went past the eighth grade?
Well, just up to eighth grade.
Eighth grade. Now, what if somebody would have wanted to go to high school?
I wanted to go to high school.
What?
Well, there was no money to go. So we got to stay home and work. So I didn't go.
Yeah.
I was going to go to tractor school.
Tractor school. How about some of your other brothers and sisters?
I don't think they ever tried or wanted.
Yeah.
Well, the younger ones did, but there was no money for them. Dad was sick. But I had a book ordered already from Omaha, Nebraska. Book which used, and then there were the pictures in all those boys in the building there about my age and size, and I wished I could have been with them.
Were you very interested in tractors?
In tractors that time. Those years they started with those little tractors on the farm. And I thought that would be nice if I could do a little bit of engineering.
Yeah.
But Dad says there's no money to go to.
Yeah.
See, he always used us to work, to earn money, to keep going.
Keep the family
and
going.
If I'd have went that way, he'd have scratched it up in this end and put it in there. See?
Yeah, yeah. It kind of reminds me of my dad. You know, my dad said that he wanted to go to high school. And his dad said, du hast Hochschule, kriegst Hochschule im Stadt. So that's the answer he had when he wanted to go to school, to high school. So there weren't too many that went to high school at that time, were there?
Well, none of us.
I mean, even other families, though.
From our family, yeah. Nobody went.
And from other, did you know of anybody,
well,
any of your friends
going?
Well,
there some that went to, well, they went high enough to teach school.
Where did they go to high school? Who had a high school at that time?
Ashley had a high school.
Ashley had a high school at that time, yeah. Now, did your educational experience influence your own children's education? The schooling you had, did that affect your own kids?
Well, it affected me so much that I thought if they wanted school, I'd go along with them. And they wanted to go to school. I wanted really to farm. Before I sold this out, I said, we'll leave everything and you take over what I leave.
Yeah.
He says, I'm afraid I can't handle it. So he wanted to go. He wanted music. And
yeah.
So he had his way. Julie had her way. She wanted. Julie was 9 years old when she was in the hospital. She had a rheumatic fever. She was in Bismarck.
Oh.
And she stayed up there by herself. And when we come up there, well, she was just happy. She liked it. And she said, that's when she made up her mind. And I'm going to go get big ones and go to school or whatever. I'm going to be a nurse.
Oh.
And that stayed with her, and she went through with up to the end.
Yeah, yeah. So just because you had an eighth grade education didn't mean that you were going to stop your kids from going past the eighth grade.
No way.
But that probably helped you to push them.
I know what I went through.
Yeah.
See, I went, when I was still going to school or out of school, they had a little band in Danzig. They called it the Bluebird Band. And all those my age and those, they were after me to join them so they get a bigger band.
Yeah.
And I told my folks that I should have an instrument, and they'd give me a lesson, and I said, I want to play in the band. And that time, I think it cost $35 for some kind of a trumpet or baritone, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them about what it costs. Oh, that we can't afford to buy that now. So that was the end of that.
So you didn't do it, yeah.
But I would have liked to join that band then.
Yeah,
it's just my age, a bunch of boys that had
stuff. Couldn't scrounge up to $35.
No. And they thought maybe if I gave it to one, the others come and want this.
Yeah, sure.
That. So
sure.
He didn't break the ice, he just kept he done a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, you encouraged your kids to go to school, and
well,
then they encouraged theirs.
Whatever
to go.
Their wish was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get for tournaments or music festivals, whatever there was, where one of them was in. Well, they were both in band, but then Julie was cheerleader. And when the team played some tournament and so on, they had to go while we were going.
Yeah, yeah.
They had no bus that time. We just, everybody found their way there, and Julie was after us.
So you went to a lot of their activities that they
we
participated in.
To the basketballs, I played enough. I seen enough those years.
Yeah, yeah.
When they were done, I was done.
You were done too, huh? Yeah. Now, if you would have had more education, how do you think your life would have been different? If you'd have gone to high school.
It could have been different, but maybe not as good as it was this way.
That's true. Yeah,
so
that's true.
I can't complain that everything went.
Yeah. So if you would have gone to school, it might have been different, but not necessarily better.
No.
Yeah, I think that's right. Now, anything else about education that you'd like to talk about?
You know, I should have more education, but that's too late now. I'll settle for what it is.
Well, we learn every day, though, don't we?
Well. No, I guess it went all right.
Yes. You bet. Okay, our last subject is on politics. Were your parents interested in politics?
No.
Weren't interested in politics.
And none of us kids, I don't think, is interested in politics.
Nobody interested in politics. So they never attended any political rallies or anything like that?
But we go voting and everything, we follow that. We go along with it, but we don't work on it during the campaigning years.
They weren't, at that time, they were probably, that was the prohibition years and women's suffrage, where they, did they have any opinions on any of that stuff?
No, I think it, around us, it was kept quiet.
If they did feel strong about something, they kept it to themselves.
Well, yeah, there was nothing they could do or try to do, they just...
Yeah.
Wait and see how it's going to turn out.
But you did go and vote when you were voting age?
I was on the election committee a number of times.
Yeah. Was there a president your parents felt strongly about?
No, really not.
Yeah. How about you?
Anybody? Really. When they were in, let them... I couldn't do any changing by talking to them anyway.
Yeah. What... Do you remember, can you remember what they were politically, Democrat or NPL or
no.
Republican? Or?
I watched Jeopardy once in a while. And they're asked once in a while from this, he was this and was that president, and they don't even know sometimes.
They don't even know. So as far as you know, your parents weren't Republicans or Democrats?
We didn't pay much interest to that because...
Yeah. Were you ever, now I think you answered this now, you were never involved with certain political parties or issues either then?
No.
Yeah. But you are interested in everyday things that happen and go on? And
well, just not everything, but things that interferes with us or comes up for us, like foreign programs and this and that, how it turns out. This is what I'm watching pretty close now.
You try to keep up with that, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you do have some interest, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I still got interest in farming.
Yeah. Somebody's got to stay on top of things, right? Anything else that we should talk about in politics?
No. If it goes to politics, that's where I come to the end.
Really come to an end. Isn't there a saying, politics is what makes the world go around?
That still goes around.
Without it, huh?
Without me.
Without you, yeah. Well, that's good that you're interested in it.
Where it stops, nobody knows anyway.
Yeah, yeah. That's good that you're interested enough to go voting, though, and expressing your opinion, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I jotted down a couple of things here that we should have probably talked about some other place, but there weren't questions here. Your parents were quite religious, and they went to church on a regular basis, and they went to the homes. Did your mother or dad, did they have church offices? Were they deacons or ushers or trustees or anything?
My dad was the deacon for... Many years.
For many years.
Till he got sick, and then he just signed off. He says, I can't do it no more, so Mr. Wallace took it over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was the beginner of this church. He worked hard to get the church going.
Yeah. Another thing I was going to ask you now, some of the things that you do now that you're retired. You were a trucker, you were a farmer, now you're retired. What are some of the things you're interested in now?
Well, I wouldn't know. Just keep on living as long as we're able to. Hope for good health.
That's the main part. I know you've got one of your hobbies is a train. You want to tell us a little bit about your train?
Oh, that's maybe too small a deal. I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I got it out here in the shed, and sometimes in summer when I sit out there and I got it going, there's trips right across. The preacher comes a little early and he comes over and he watches the little train.
Is that right? That's good.
The other day he was at the cafe and I knew him, but I don't know where he belonged to. Well, and he knew me. And I went and talked to him and I says, I can't think of your name, but I know you. Yeah, he says, I was there twice in your little shed there and we had that little train going. You still got it? I says, yeah, I got it in better shape than they had at that time.
Yeah.
I've got a tape now to play with it and that toots and just here.
Do you have any other hobbies besides that? Or?
No, I got little tractors, but just...
You read a lot?
I did, but I had to give up for my eyes that gets tired.
Mm-hmm.
What I do with puzzles.
Puzzles? A lot of crossword puzzles?
A lot of them.
Yeah.
But put them up once and then it's done. Put them away. Well, I mm-hmm. paint them up.
Yeah, yeah.
And this here is what I...
You're going to show me one, huh?
No, I can show you the pictures too, but this is what I do now.
Oh, yeah.
I bought this little book and I...
Word circles, yeah. Yeah, that's fun games. Words that are diagonal, horizontal, and vertical, and then you pick out
This end there, you page
you pick out the...
It's all done.
Pick out the words. See, that's good to do something like that, because that keeps
your mother done that too.
Is that right?
But she didn't make it as straight. I told her I got a straight ruler, or this thing I used to make the line straight.
See, this keeps you young and alert.
Well, any time you sit a little bit early to go to bed, well, see if I find a word or something.
Yeah.
And I don't quit till I got the page done.
Do you watch a lot of TV?
Not very much.
Not very much.
Unless there's something that I want to watch, which is something special.
Yeah.
But otherwise, all this junk stories I know.
Are you or were you ever a fisherman?
No.
Never a fisherman. Golfer?
No golfer, but I like to watch it on TV.
You like to, which, golf or baseball?
Golf. I watch on TV.
Yeah. So you have enough things to keep you occupied and make the time go by and...
Yeah, just sometimes I should have more rest.
More rest?
That's right.
Too many activities,
we're
huh?
Going here, going there,
yeah.
And then this and that, and this yet, and that yet, and...
Yeah, that's another thing I want to ask you now. Senior citizen, you have a senior citizen center here.
Yes.
Are you pretty active in that?
Well, we just go there.
Yeah.
And pay our meals, and I got no office or anything. Take part in
the other ones. Yeah. Now the meals, are they usually on a daily basis or every other day?
Three a week, Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays.
And do they have some activities at night sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes they go on Friday nights, they go together and play bingo or sing or visit.
Yeah.
We play pool in there.
So there are some activities here for elderly people.
Yeah, we could be up there tonight.
Yeah. Or if you'd be golfing and the weather would be nicer, you could be there too.
Golf, I never tried it.
You never tried it at all?
But as I watch them, sometimes I watch them and how they do it and miss it, and I think I could do better than that. But if you're there, I think it's different.
Yeah, I think so. Well, is there anything else now that... you'd like to add about your family life or your relationships or how your family felt about this country or this community or how your kids feel about the community and the...
Oh, the kids were raised here, but they left and went to California. They thought we should go out there too. And I told them I'll never move out there to live. I was here all those years and I want to stay here.
How about the Minneapolis area?
I don't like that either. I don't like that town.
That's a big town too, right? Yeah.
And when it's winter, it's cold. If California, it's at least warm.
Yeah.
But go to the kids there. The junior wants to take us along for about a week. We go along next week, I think.
Yeah.
It's all right to go, but we don't want to stay.
Did you? Yeah, you used to go to California and spend some time in the wintertime, right?
Just once. Yeah.
Did you ever go south to Texas? Or?
Well, we drove around there. We were in Texas, just driving. And we talked about it in the coffee shop the other day, that about the driving with the trailers and fifth-wheelers and all this. It says when we drove, our most miles was in the 60s. me and Esther. We just took the car, just me and her. And we made a lot of miles and a lot of towns and a lot of states. And we made, in the 60s, we went two long trips, which was over 3,000 miles and 30 days. We've done that twice.
Yeah.
And well, in 70, the kids moved to California. In 74, we went over there first time with the plane. And from then on, we fly.
Mm-hmm.
With the car, we're just about done. We don't go too slow.
Yeah. Boy, I bet with all your trucking and vacations that you've taken, you've put on a lot of miles on a vehicle, huh?
Oh, gosh. I traded trucks every other year there for a while, and they always were 90,000, 110,000. With the mileage on.
Yeah.
I didn't let the truck get old. I just traded it off, and then I had new tires and everything. It was more safe.
Yeah.
And with the 4 years I was alone there, I was driving around a lot with the Aberdeen kids. There was Edwin and Otto. And they were all down there. Ivan was living there yet for some time. No, not he was dead then. But anyhow, I spent a lot of time there just chasing around back to California. And 1 year I was, in 8 months I was out to California three times and back.
Mm. Yeah.
Just it was, Julia, she is my ticket buyer always. She lives close to the friend where they sell the tickets. And she always calls her, there's
bargains, huh?
A bargain coming up, so-and-so. Your folks want to go someplace? Got to buy them now and so on, so on. So we always got ready when the
God, I better give her my email address or my telephone number so she can do that for me.
Yeah.
In the trucking business, what was your best truck, Chevrolet or Ford or?
Always Chevrolet.
Always Chevrolet.
I had the Dodge 2 years. That was all right too. I hauled a lot of gravel too.
Yeah, I remember that.
And a lot of machinery. And horses. And cattle. Boy, I hauled
a little of everything, huh?
I hauled a lot of cattle to Fargo, and that time the armor plant was new and built up, and now it's completely shut down.
Yeah.
So fast.
I used to work at West Fargo, that armor plant, in the summertime when I went to school at Valley City.
Oh.
And when I go through there, it just disappoints me, you know, that it's in such bad shape.
That's just no more.
Well, nothing. Yeah.
That exchange building there, that was built when I was hauling in already, when it opened up, they had a little shack there to put the bookwork, and then they start building an exchange building like it should be. They build it 3 stories high and 6 commission firms in there, so you've done your work in there. And I seen that building go up from scratch, and a few years ago, me and Julia drove over that way, and we went down to see that building, and it was completely locked up.
Yeah.
And I went to the door and she took a picture of me. The picture is someplace.
Is that right?
The building is nice there and locked up.
Yeah.
It was just a rush through so many years and it was over with.
What's your favorite car? Make of car?
That's a still Chevrolet.
Still Chevrolet too.
This is the first Buick I'm driving now and I don't like it.
You don't like it? So next one might be a Chevrolet, huh?
Are we going on here?
Yeah. Oh yeah. What's your favorite food?
Oh, I guess pizza.
Pizza? Boy, that's a modern food. I thought maybe you'd say dumplings or...
that's old already.
That's old, huh? I bet you've eaten a lot of dumplings and Nipfla, yeah.
Our mother, she worked in the dough just almost every day.
Yeah.
Yep. We made ice one winter.
You made ice?
For a number of winters for the father-in-law in Danzig and his meat market, there was no electricity, so they had to make ice so they got summer cooling. There was 2 winters we couldn't get an ice hardly because the lakes were so low that when you cut the ice it couldn't swim, it went down, so you couldn't use it. So we fooled around all different dams they had. It was a what they call them, pasture reservoirs or what they call
the
livestock.
Yeah.
Anyhow, they were dry, so we had to go over to Coldwater Lake, find a spot there where it was deep enough. There was a place that was 8 feet deep, and there we caught it. Me and Otto Hintz, and the crew. And I hauled about 60 ton to Denzi.
Ooh, is that right?
And every day we had to cut a new section open. See, you've got to take it all out, or if it freezes overnight, you can't use it.
Yeah.
So we finished up one day, went home in the evening, and unloaded. In the morning, Fred, I had him to help me load. We were always glued together. I drove on that ice. It was fresh snow. And the place we cut out, after we left, he moved it to a different location. And I drove over that spot. And as soon as I stopped, I was right on that spot, which we took out the day before.
Hmm.
And that started cracking and breakthrough.
Ooh.
Start going.
Yeah.
So Fred jumped out on that ice. He was lucky, he didn't break it through. It was froze hard enough to hold the truck. If I wouldn't have stopped, I'd have got over.
Boy.
But I stopped and looked around where the rest of them are.
Yeah.
So by just doing that fast, the truck went over and laid in and went way down, completely gone.
Well, did you get out then?
We jumped out. I jumped to this side and Fred jumped to that side. There was not much to the side.
Oh. Get out, huh?
All at once, and the others were way over there. They was waiting for us to come. It's just, yeah, we thought they were coming. So they seen us stand there.
Where was this? Where is this?
Coldwater Lake.
Coldwater Lake.
And the truck was down. Well, that day was taken. Just get that truck out. We had to go to actually get block and tackle and timbers. And the whole crew worked till evening to get that truck out again on the ice. And we hooked it on the other and dragged it home. And we dried it about 4 days in Ashley here. Till we got it going. We had about 3 loads left to haul. And we hauled that. And then I loaded that furniture and went to California.
Oh.
On a wet truck, I thought, we're going to get trouble with water in it.
Yeah.
And everything turned out. I filled it with gas when we went through town, and because the tank was full, it didn't take nothing.
Oh.
No gas problem.
Pretty lucky.
So that was my first trip to California.
Yeah. What year was that, Jim?
37.
37.
Stayed out over New Year and come back in 38. 9 days. See, the truck worked in WPA then. We had only so many days, and then you've got to be truck on the job. So we had to hurry home, and we did.
Did you work for WPA too?
I couldn't work the truck.
Oh.
I couldn't even drive it.
Oh.
They didn't. From the beginning, I drove it just so I didn't. It was my truck. I thought I'd drive it.
Yeah.
And then they come up with this. A truck driver gets 5 cents an hour more. And one of these men should drive the truck so they can get the 5 cents. Otherwise, this 5 cents was lost.
Yeah.
They couldn't give it to me.
I'll be darned. Yeah.
So I kept my truck on there. And when this new schoolhouse was built, my truck and Otto Hinz's, they used it for a scraper. They drove down and pulled all this with the scrapers, most of it out.
Oh.
With the truck, I was busy.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, you did that for what? Did you say 18 years, I think, right?
18 years.
18 years, yeah.
And then when I was done, they didn't let me go. I was this yet, that yet, and I says, I haven't gotten a license. I don't want to haul no more. So I decided to go to Jamestown and trade it to just see how I can trade for a pickup. So I went up, got a new pickup, whatever we done. And then I had no truck, then I was done. Then the sales barn had 2 semis and no drivers. Well, one of them he sold then. And the one he had different drivers on, and they never come home complete. There was always something wrong.
Mm.
So he went after me, and I drove that truck for about 10 trips, I think, to St. Paul. It was late in the fall.
Yeah.
And after that, I says, it's enough.
That's enough, yeah.
And then in combining summers, swapping, combining, truck driving again for a Blomart here in the U.S. So I kept going in a way.
Yeah. I see you've got an American flag in the corner there. When do you put that up?
Oh, we do it up during the summer. Me and Strobel's got one there, and we got one here. So
almost every day,
had meetings already. They said it would be nicer if they should show more flags.
Mm-hmm.
The public.
Well, yeah.
There's some that got it here and there.
Yeah.
I put this out.
It's good.
Nice day. I had it out once this day.
Is that right? Yeah. It's so good.
just open the door and put it on this side.
Yeah, that's good.
So, this is...
Anything else you'd like to mention?
I think I mentioned too much already.
That was a good interview.
I don't know. I wonder how they listen to that, what they think about those guys.
Well, that's the good old German Russians. Good old German Russians in that Mackinac County.
Yeah.
That city of Ashley.
It's Alte Deutsche.
Alte Deutsche, yeah. Anything else?
No, I think I'm done.
I can't think of anything either that I...
Unless you got a question.
Yeah.
You got me into a long story here with all this puzzle stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I kill my time now.
Yeah. Well, at least you got a nice pastime. Keeps you going on those long winter days.
When I go to the doctor, say, well, you're rich, you should have more rest.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel it too.
Get more rest,
I can just go and lay down anytime you feel like me.
That's good. That's good. There's a lot of people that can't rest and can't sleep, so if you're able to sleep, that's good. Okay, I think if you don't have anything else, you don't have anything.
What shall I say?
Any words for the wise? Any?
No, I think I said all of it. I could just say thank you for the trouble.
That was no trouble at all. It was a lot of fun. It was an honor.
We'll have fun after this now.
Yeah, right. Okay, I want to thank you, my uncle, Sam Esslinger. And this concludes our interview. And thanks again.
You're welcome.